Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so abiding in this purging. So abiding in the vine, and we're going to abiding in this purging. Well, I don't know much about vines. Most of us don't know much about vines. We think the grapes grow in the grocery store, you know. We go to the grocery store, they're always there, you know, green, red. But I watch a very experienced man purging grapes or grapevines, my grandfather. He tried to teach me, but I didn't get it. And he said, this is how you do it. And I'm like, how you do it? And he said, so the older the grapevine gets, the more you have to purge it. And the more you have to purge it, guess what happens? The more fruit it comes out of the vine. If you let a grapevine go wild, it literally will kill the vine. So we're going to look into this tonight about purging. So as we continue our series, Abiding in the Vine, let me remind you that Jesus is teaching all of us a sobering message here, a message on which the key is the more you abide in the vine, the more you grow in your relationship with Jesus. It is amazing. I tell you what, it amazes me every time I read the Gospels. It is so simple to understand the Gospels. Jesus is very simple in his approach, in his teachings. He is the master teacher, and he uses very simple things. He looks at the grapevine, and he goes, gives an analogy and a story there for the ages. And sometimes we try to twist it, but no, a vine is a vine, and the fruits are fruits, and branches are branches. Okay, so let me give you a story. One early spring, Darlene and I, this is not my story, I just took this out, and I moved with our family to the countryside. We needed to slow down. We were looking forward to enjoy the beautiful of our place that we purchased on the countryside. A couple of days after we unpacked, I was pottering in my garage when I noticed my neighbor hacking down a row of grapevines along the fence and we shared together. I had assumed that we owned the vines jointly. Wasn't that how things are done in the countryside? We already had visions of feasting on a bucket of all full of grapes. I walked over my neighbor and said, "Hi, neighbor." My neighbor, a large, white, big man, it says right here, stood up and looked at me and said, "Hi." All around him, leaps of grapes and branches were cut and went down. So you don't like grapes, I guess, said the neighbor. I said, trying to conceal my distress. I love grapes. Really? Well, I thought maybe we would be sharing the crops from this vine. His eyes, he eyed me, with shining eyes. Are you a city boy, aren't you? Not exactly, I replied. He continued, "Don't you know nothing about grapes, do you?" I told him I knew I liked to taste them, and I told him I particularly liked the promising look of the roll of grapes when I bought the place, because he saw the grapevine, obviously. "Do you like big, juicy grapes?" he asked. "Of course," I replied. "Well, son," he said, we can't either grow ourselves a lot of beautiful leaves filling out this whole fence line, or we can have the biggest, juiciest, and sweetest grapes you want your family ever seen. You just have to prune the grapes or the grapevine." So this guy did not understand, if you got the idea here, that you look at the leaves and the grapes throughout the fence, and he thought like, wow, we're going to have a lot of grapes, and it's going to be wonderful. One thing he didn't understand, you have to prune it back in order to produce grapes. So this eyewitness for my grandfather, year after year, how he did it. My grandfather, he was a man that you would never see him in a bar or in a restaurant. That's places he never went. You would never see him drink alcohol in public. But he always had his grapes, and he always made his wine, and he always drank a glass of wine every time he ate. So in the morning, he had breakfast, he had a glass of wine. That's how far he went. And lunch, he had and that's how he did. That's the culture of where I grew up. So, but he did his own pruning, and he raised his own grapes. He made his own wine, and I learned nothing out of it. I just didn't. I didn't learn anything out of it. I was a kid. I was not interested in learning out of farming. Just now in me. And today, if you go to a lot of Portuguese people have grapevines in their yards. In my house, you don't find one. I can't keep up with the bees around the grapevine. I just can't. But anyway, so I don't get stung every year, which I do. But but anyway, so most of us here tonight don't know how grapevines work. I try to explain it to you because most of us, like I said, think that they grow in the grocery store. And I like when they're in the bag, nice and clean, washed, and I just bring it home, and Joseph takes the whole pile and eats the whole thing. So, and I said, where's the grapes? And he's, there's more in the store. Of course in the store. I have to go there and get it. So today that's what he had for dessert, a whole bag of grapes. I'm just putting you down so bad tonight. Don't worry. I love you. I still love you. Don't you worry. So tonight I want to share with you about this thing about purging. So let's look at from several points tonight about purging. Number one, if you follow the outline, purging is a must by the vine dresser. It is a must. Look what it says in verse 2. Every branch in me, listen, in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, and that is that it may bring forth more fruit. Class, let me tell you something here tonight. He's talking to whom? So he's not talking about salvation here, all right? He's talking about relationship, because some people take this passage and bring it to salvation. That's not what he's talking about here. So now, I mean, then they say, what about these? We're going to talk about these things. No, the desire of us Christians should be more than just go through the motions of Christianity. I open my Bible, I close my Bible. I go to church, I sit down. I take a nap with my eyes open. I go back home, I do that again. And it's the motions of Christianity. It means I'm going through the motions, I'm learning nothing. And folks, if I don't be careful, I can give you the message and learn nothing myself as well. So as I preach to you, I have to have ears to hear what I'm saying so I can apply to my own life as well. All right? First of all, I'm a father. First of all, I'm married. Second of all, I'm going out there just like you go. So anyway, I have a job. Let me tell you this. I need to hear as much you do. So what I try to say is we need to be careful that we don't go through the motions of Christianity doing everything right and our heart is not in the right place with God. Okay? So, and also should be more than just bear fruit. Well, our greatest desire is to bear much fruit. Much, not just bear fruit. You can have a grape, a little custard of grape or two or three grapes hanging out of it. No, God wants us to have a whole big one full of fruit. That's the way, that's what he desires for us to have. Now, in order to produce more fruit, we allow the vine dresser to prune us. And that can be what? Painful. Nobody likes to be pruned back. It hurts. My grandfather used to say, it hurts the vine when you prune the branches. Yeah, like, oh, it hurts. And he used to say, this is how patient he was. Look, 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 it's crying, look. Because there's a little white little liquid that comes out. And so the vine is crying because I pruned the branch. I'm like, really? I'm like, I remember these things. My grandfather, patient how he was, taking care of those things. So for a Christian to bear much fruit, you must be willing to accept the master's purgings. Folks, no one wants purging because it's painful, but everyone wants fruit. We want to produce fruit. We want to serve God, don't we? We want to be fruitful for our Savior. We want to do what we can to be a blessing to Him. But when He purges us, we don't like it because it hurts. For instance, nearly everyone has a favorite fruit. If you walk into a store, you choose it. You pay it. You pay for it, you take it home, you eat it. Now keep in mind that the fruit, does not appear in the local grocery store. It doesn't grow there. There's a process involved on planting, watering, cultivating, growth, harvesting, and transporting the fruit to the shelves in the store where you purchase. There's a lot of labor going behind that before it gets there. So it is the Christian life. Fruit doesn't just happen overnight in the life of a Christian. It grows through a process. is what we call the process of sanctification. The more you abide in the vine, the more fruit you produce. So, you must view every obstacle as an opportunity to reach in full potential as a Christian. So, folks, for growth to occur, several key contributions must be placed. What are those contributions? Number one, drinking the living water of the Word of God. How are we going to produce fruit? I said that this morning. We need to apply the Word. Don't just make... Listen, I said this morning, I didn't say that with a hard heart or with a cold heart. I said that with a heart that wants you to grow. Okay? I said that with an honest heart because I tell you what, there was a time with so many Bible translations because we just don't understand the KJV Bible, so we're going to translate. So everywhere. You know the thing is, nothing changed. People don't read their Bibles. They don't study their Bibles. Their Bibles are I see in some homes, they're decorative pieces. It looks good in some shelves, don't get me wrong. Now then, while we move from the paper Bible, it's just too much of a hassle to carry, so we use the electronic Bible. You know what? For many Christians, it's just an app because they don't use it. They just don't use it. They're just an app. It's just there. Oh, I got a Bible on my phone. I got a Bible on my iPad. I got a Bible on my computer. But how far did they go? And I sat there this morning with a kind, loving heart. Maybe I came across a little harsh. I didn't try to. But drinking of the living water, how are we going to grow and produce fruit? We listen, every grapevine needs nourishment. It needs water. That's why the roots spread out looking for water and nourishment. I tell you what, we need nourishment as well. All right. You get up tonight. You don't go home. Don't have supper. Okay? So me and my nachos tonight, forget it. Okay? No nachos tonight. No sour cream. That's my favorite. That's what I do on Sunday night. No, anyway, nothing at that. Tomorrow morning I get up, no breakfast. At lunch comes, no lunch, no supper. The next day I do the same thing. How long am I going to last? I need the nourishment, right? Especially, let's say you work a hard job. How far are you going to go? We need nourishment. So we Christians, where we get our nourishment? From the Word of God. We need the nourishment that comes from the Word of God. So, I don't know what you do in your private life. I don't. I don't live with you. I know what's going on in my house because I've seen it. People that live with me. Here's what we do in my house. We have devotions. We read the Bible. We study the Bible. Not because I'm a pastor. I did that before I became a pastor. I love my Jesus enough to get my food out of the Word. I say breakfast of champions. You know what breakfast of champions are? My Bible and my food for my that I need my material body. So in the morning I get up, 3:40 in the morning. I sit down on my little kitchen island that I have there. I open my Bible and guess what I do? I fix food. Yes. At 3:40 in the morning, I'm cooking some eggs and get some toast going. And people say, how can you do that? Because I'm hungry. My wife is sleeping. I'm not going to wake her up. So I take care of myself. I need to go because, I start working at 5 in the morning. I feed myself. But I guess what? I need this thing right here before I leave the house. We need the nourishment of the Word. So, drinking the living water of the Word of God. Number two, having spiritual receptivity. There's the word. Let's look here. So, in order for you and I to produce much fruit, we have to be submissive, have a submissive heart towards God and His Word. The Bible speaks to us this way on Matthew. Look, go to Matthew chapter 23, 13 verse 23. I want you to see this there in Matthew 13:23. So the Bible speaks of this in Matthew 13:23. Look what it says. But he that receiveth seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth, which also beareth fruit and bring forth some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. So Jesus, like those, received the word of God on good ground to water it to the way that it flourish and bring forth fruit. So their hearts are open. Let me tell you, don't go and try to feed on the word of God and just read for it and say, check mark, I did this chapter today. No. Listen. Ask God to give you something out of His Word before you open His Word. Yeah, you go through the Bible. I go through the Bible every year, through the Bible in a year. I go through that. But I need a time to say, Lord, I'm going to open this Bible. Give me something from Your Word today. Give me something, maybe to be an encouragement to somebody, maybe to be a blessing to somebody, maybe something that I need in my own life, but give me something. Guess what? He's going to give it to you. He's going to give it to you. So have a spiritual receptivity here. So folks, sometimes people who have a church, who leave church, will often use the excuse, I left because I just wasn't getting anything out of it. Listen, folks. If you go into a Bible-believing church, if you don't get anything out of it, it's not the pastor's fault, it's your heart. We need to open your heart to God's Word. Listen, you can have a Sunday school teacher teaching you a message and bless your heart and put your heart into a fire and say, well, that was a good message. Listen, if you don't come, we cannot teach you. But I tell you what, how many messages I left out of the Sunday school class and said, that was a good message. That would bless my heart. How many messages I preached that came out of a Sunday school teacher's mouth? Got two adults here and one in the back. I tell you what, many of my messages came from you. You spoke and you give me the outline right then. And I sometimes even mention, hey, you just give me an outline. You guys look at me like, really? Yeah, you did. Because when God speaks to you, He gives you that, and I don't want to miss this thought. And a lesson is born. So, the Bible principle remains truth. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You will receive in direct proportion of your preparation. It is a challenging question for you here. How much time do you take to prepare your heart before you open your Bible or even before you come to church? You see, what kind of ground is your heart made of? Hard ground, stony ground, or good soil? Is the seed of God's Word making a difference in your life? The seed of God's Word, it was meant to be in your heart to grow. Now, if you take discipleship, a lot of pastors have that. They have a hand with dirt and a plant growing out of their hand. Ever see that picture? What does that mean? It means growth. So the seed of God's Word that is planted in my heart and your heart was meant to put there to grow. We say this to people that are not saved. Oh, somebody plant the seed. That's what we say. Somebody put water and somebody reap the harvest. We say all that. What about the seed that is in the heart of a Christian? That seed needs to grow to bear fruit. So, number one, be receptive of the Lord's purging. Don't complain with God when God is purging you. Don't complain. You see, if a Christian is going to bear fruit, from time to time, there will be purging that in our lives from our Heavenly Father. There will be a process of purging there. It's not always pleasant, but always is necessary. Listen, sometimes the Lord needs to purge gossip. Sometimes the Lord needs to purge lying. Sometimes the Lord needs to purge pride. Sometimes there's all kinds of things that the Lord needs to come around and go, I'm going to take this away from you. I'm going to take this away from you because this will cause you not to grow and to bear fruit. And those things hurt. Listen, if I get in the habit of being prideful, if I be in the habit of lying, if I be in the habit of stealing, guess what? If those things are taken from me, it's going to hurt. I'm going to miss it out. I saw a movie last night. Not to do with this, but it just popped in my mind. This woman was a thief. A good thief. A professional. She would take anything, anytime, and she would steal it. Until her conscience bothered her. And she stopped. You know what she said? Oh, I miss stealing. She missed doing what she used to do. You know, it's the same thing. Like, I'm not trying to compare it with, but follow what I'm saying here, is that when those things grow in our lives, and it can grow, if the Lord comes and purge it out, it's going to hurt. Because in our human flesh, we get used to them. We got used to them. So, let's go down here to our number two point here. It says purging is a must in by the vine dresser. Purging, number two, increases productivity. Look there, back in our text in verse 2. Every branch in me that heareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. So some folks get stuck in the first words and say, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, take it away. It's saying literally they lose their salvation. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. The subject is not salvation here. It's about a relationship with God. And that's where we make mistakes here. So think with me. It's not about losing salvation. There's no way you can lose your salvation. You have to rip verses out of the Bible. God says you are sealed in my hand. God the Father have you. God the Son have you. And God the Holy Spirit. We are sealed in God's hand. Once you save, you are forever a child of God. All right? So don't think like, oh, maybe I'm not. No, you are saved. Salvation is not based on feelings. It's based on something that you have done. Listen, if we were to lose our salvation, none of us were saved anymore here. We all lose it in 2 seconds. A bad thought comes about, oh, I lost it. And don't tell me we don't have bad thoughts. All of us do, because all of us are sinners. So God says to a Christian who is serious about bearing fruit, if there's anything that is drawing you affection, if is there anything between you and me, I need to purge it out from your life so you can bear more fruit. Remember, our God is what? A jealous God. And our God doesn't want anything between you and him. He wants your relationship to be so sweet and so open. And when something gets between you and him, he's going to come after you. You know why? Because he's a jealous God. He loves you that much. Same thing with the father-son, father-daughter, or mother-daughter, mother-son relationship. If there's something there, immediately somebody's going to say, hey, what's going on with you? Why are you acting this way? Why? It's going to, well, however you have the relationship with your child, you're going to say something. So by removing the objects of affection that we get affected to, God is not able to produce much fruit from you as you abide in the vine. Even though pruning sometimes could be painful, keep in mind that God doesn't do that because he doesn't love you. He does that because he loves you. Let me tell you this. The God of the Bible is a God of love, is a God of justice, a God of love, and he loves you. The reason why he's pruning you is because he loves us enough to do that. I remember my grandfather, when he used to prune the vines, he did that with the most caring thing. He used to even baby the branches and make sure he put little sticks to hold the branches up, depending on how high the branches were, the way he pruned. I was amazed how he did those things. He babied those things because he didn't want them to break. And if it was a lot of fruit in one branch, he put supports there so the branch wouldn't crack. So letter A, pruning for the faithful. Pruning for the faithful. There are two types of reaction to those Christians to go through the pruning process by the vine dresser. For the faithful Christian, the pruning will be the cause to produce much fruit. The Lord intends us to remain attached to him, getting to nourishment from the vine, and pruning us so we can produce much fruit. Let me ask you this question. If you do a survey in your life from last year to now, would you say you're producing more fruit? You don't have to say anything to me. It's just between you and the Lord. But if you would just say, I'm producing more fruit now because the Lord has been pruning me. Oh, goodness, I'm growing wild. You see, some of the most fruitful Christians, like I said, are those who have stayed faithful even in the most difficult trials of life. Even in those most difficult trials, when the Lord just keep pruning us, you know what? And it hurts, folks. God says you're going to be fruitful. During those times, we see that big chunks of grapes in that vine. During those times, they grow stronger. The result of this, they now are producing greater and much fruit, because the more you abide in the vine, the more you allow the vine dresser to prune you, guess what happens? You'll be more fruitful. Let it be. Pruning for the unfaithful. So these two types of Christians, the Bible put it this way. If you read the KJV Bible, put it this way. They are the spiritual-filled Christian. All right, that those who walk in close fellowship with Jesus. All right, that in the Bible, and so in the KJV Bible, talks about the carnal-minded Christians. What they mean with that is, what the Bible means with that, they're worldly-minded. Their mind is not focused on Jesus. Their mind is focused on the world. They live for themselves. Well, when it hurts, they try to go to God. And they're still the children of God. Don't get me wrong. But their first priority is not God, is themselves. They live for themselves. They live for the world. Whatever the world says, they go right with it. So, the pruning for the unfaithful. There are Christians who don't like pruning, neither like to obey. Listen, I work with folks, no matter what you say, they don't obey anything. Every time you say something, they have something to say back. Every time you say something, they have to something to say back. They don't are good, they don't obey. If you have more than one kid in your home, more than one, you will agree with me. Mom goes and says something, somebody always asks like a little fresh remark or something, and you say, "Didn't your brother or sister heard the same thing I just told you? Why did they not say what you said? Why are you talking back?" It keeps going. And it's just like, and I tell you, it is amazing. And they get more fresh when they get to be teenagers. I got a mommy agreeing with me. you got to be teenagers. But anyway, they don't like pruning. They don't like to obey. Yes, the Christian who turns his back on God during times of purging is the Christian who has another trial waiting next door. After this trial comes another one. You know why? Because God is going to keep pruning you until you get the message. He wants you to be fruitful. And he continue to prune those things out of your life. And it's hurtful. That's why when Christians are the will of God, they're the most miserable people. You know why? Because they are the will of God and God tried to bring them back. Look what it says. Actually, go to Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Let's look at this. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Look what it says. And verse 3 to verse 5, it says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." So, what Paul is saying here, Paul is saying that, but we glory in tribulations. You know why? Because it's during those time of tribulation that God is teaching us something. It's during those tribulations that we learn. I tell you what, I know from experience that I'm old enough for that. We learn the most from God, and we get closer to Him when it hurts. When we're desperate, when we don't know where to turn to. We learn the most because we know it's just, Lord, it's just you. I need you. And that's what God wants us to be. In a place we totally pruned, and now God says to you and me, "Now, child, I'm going to let you be fruitful." And you might say, "But I don't see the fruits." You might not see it, but others do. Remember last week we talked about the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of pruning. God prunes us, and the result is love, patience, and all those things that come with the fruit of the Spirit. So, folks, the Apostle Paul was able to praise God in his tribulations. Can you do that? Do you praise God when it hurts? It is easy to praise God when it hurts. Listen, it's easy to say, "Lord, I love you. I do all these things. Why am I hurting?" Don't ask me, because I don't know. But God knows. Look, if you read the book of Job, how would you do if you were in his feet? You lose all your family. You lose all your wealth. You lose everything. And you get ill in the process. And your wife says, "Why don't you curse God and die?" That's wonderful counseling right there. God just took everything from you. Just curse him and die. Might as well. I tell you what, that was a lot of suffering there. I know in some context, God and Satan in the back, Job never knew what happened, but I tell you what, He went to the pruning process, and guess what? What a blessing is he reaping in the end. Did he ever forget what happened to him? Probably not. We just don't forget about our children. God gave him more children, but he knew he lost some children. So we see purging is a must by the vine dresser. It's not God's going to say, I'm not going to purge you. God purges all of us. Yeah. All of us get purged, some more than others. So the more worldly minded we are, the more God purges us. The more spiritual we are, the Lord doesn't have to purge you as much. I see my grandfather sometimes do. What, he would take a big run of a vine and you purge it right back. I was like, oh, Grandpa, that's a big run. Well, you know, I need to purge it back so that branch can produce fruit. They're like, oh, okay. And at some other sides of the vine, you would just cut a couple of little pieces back. How he did it, how he had the knowledge and understanding, I didn't. I just watched it. I didn't care. I was a kid. I just asked those questions. You know, when it came to the harvest time, I wanted to eat some grapes. And they were there. So anyway, so we see purging is a must for the vine dress. And number two, purging, I need my glasses here, increases productivity. And number three, purging facilitates the purification of God's people. Look what it says in verse 3. Go, let us back to our text. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You see that? Folks, it is simple to understand. If we want to change, we must allow the Lord to purge the wrong branches out of our lives. Otherwise, it's the same old, same old. If we want to change, we need to let the Lord purge the wrong branches. And when he purges us, allow him to do so. Because let me tell you, we all have branches that need to go. You're quick to anger, it needs to go. You're quick, whatever it is, God needs to purge that from you. Why? So you can be more fruitful. You know, our life is to be lived in two faces. One is love God and love people. Love God and love people. What about us? Love God and love people. That's it. You say, what about me? Our society says, me, 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 I deserve. God says, love me and love your brethren. God doesn't say, love yourself. So, folks, this is simple to understand. If you want to change, if I want to change, we must allow the Lord to purge us by the wrong branches in our lives. If we want to be fruitful in your Christian life, we must allow the Lord to purge all the wrong branches. Like I said, that does not allow us to grow in our Christian life. So you have to think in yourself, what do I have in my life, in my Christian walk, that I need to just let it go in order for me to grow and be a better Christian? I don't know. You know. I only know about my own branches. You know about your own. But what is it? Remember, the life of a Christian should be a life of producing fruit for Jesus. Should be. All of us are in the business of producing fruit. The thing is just winning people for Christ. It's not that. We talked about this last Sunday. It is one aspect of it. The other aspect is the fruit of the Spirit. How we can demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. The more you submit to the branch, the more you allow the branch or take nourishment out of the vine, guess what happens? It goes to you, and the Spirit of God works in you and through you. Listen, naturally, we're not loving people. All of us can be rude in 2 seconds. Amen. Can we? At 2 seconds, it doesn't take much. But you know how we learn to love? Through the Spirit of God. How we learn to be kind? Through the Spirit of God. How we learn those things? Through the Spirit of God. He's in us, teaching us to do those things. Look, we live in a world today. Good morning. Hey, you want 25 cents to say good morning? We live in a world today that people don't care. Some people get offended if you open the door for them. Like, I just try to be nice. I don't care. We live in a very, very changing world, different world. And let me tell you, we can have the fruit of the Spirit in this world of ours that we live. Remember that the life of Christians should be a life of producing fruit constantly, all the time. In the Christian life, it should be harvest time all year round. Every day, all year round. Is there any sin that is preventing you from producing fruit tonight? Is there any sin you have become a stumbling block in your life tonight? If you allow the Lord to purge that sin from you, guess what happened? You will produce fruit. Here in this passage, the Lord Jesus was speaking to 11 disciples. Perhaps as he spoke these words, he had a vineyard. Probably did. That's how he did it. He used that object lesson to teach them a bigger lesson. So Jesus was preparing for, his death, burial, and resurrection. And Jesus said, you have to be attached in me. Otherwise, you're going to die away. And the same thing to you and me. How we live this Christian life, how we keep day by day, year by year, faithfully serving God and being fruitful to Him by abiding in the vine, by allowing Him to purge us. Don't complain. It hurts. But it's necessary. God is in the business of having His children producing fruit. The thing is, are you producing fruit? I even go further than that. Are you producing more fruit now that you produced, like, let's say, 2 months ago? Do you allow the Lord to purge you so you're producing more fruit right now? I tell you what. Letter A, purging is a part of God's purification process. His word is a cleansing agent. So, like I said, some people don't like to open the Bible because they don't want to see themselves in. And I tell you what. If you read your Bible, you will find yourself in the Bible. Amen. And with the wrongs that you do, and I do, and I'm just teaching you tonight, you will find yourself there. And I tell you what, with two things, you would ask God to forgive you and let Him purge you from those sins, or you try to hold them to because you just like it. And when we like it too much, we close the Bible. And we don't want to see it. Why do you think many people don't make use of God's word? They want to do what they want to do. They don't want to be purged by the Lord. But guess what? If you are a child of God, He will continue to purge you. And it will hurt. So purging is part of God's. His word is a cleaning agent. His word is a pruning tool to mold us into the image of God. We forget about this. The purpose of the Christian is to be more and more like Jesus. It's to turn into the image of Christ. Ephesians talks about that. So, if we produce more fruit in our lives, we resemble more and more Jesus Christ. And that's the goal of our Heavenly Father, for His children to resemble Jesus. And that's the way this sanctification process on which we allow the Lord to purge us so we can be more like Jesus. So we begin to love people the way Jesus loves people. We begin to be kind to people the way Jesus is kind to people. And I can go on and on with many examples. And when we fail, because we're not very lovable or whatever it is, we ask God immediately to purge us of that sin, and we go on. So it is a cleansing agent. The Word of God is a cleansing agent. Number two, or let it be. Purging helps us to stay attached to the vine. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine. So you have to be attached in the vine to get the nourishment necessary to produce fruit. It's simple to understand. Perhaps you have experienced some great burden. Perhaps you in the midst of a great trial. If you are running away from God and is purging, you bring chastisement upon you. God will go after you if you belong to Him. God don't let none of His children just walk away and living in sin all their lives without doing anything. If you are a child of God, He's going to go after you and will purge you and continue to purge you and continue to purge you. Let us see. Let us see there. Purging is not an excuse to run. Look what it says in James 1:4. But let patience have her perfect work, and ye may be perfect in an entire wanting nothing. Let me tell you, my dad told me this way. Son, don't you run away from your problems, because your problems will follow you where you go. Isn't that true? Practically living. You make trouble here and you run somewhere. Guess what? Your problems will follow you where you go. And they will find you. So why are we going to run away from God? What did Jonah do? God said, go there. And Jonah went the other way. What happened to Jonah? He got back to where God told him to go, but he had a wonderful ride in the belly of a fish. That was great. God said, I'm going to purge you, and I'm going to teach you a lesson. Guess what? When he got there, he was still angry. But I tell you what, if God has something for you, he's going to use you. And if you decide to run the other way, he's going to purge you and put you back in track. Jonah is a great example of that. I tell you what, sometimes we want to run away from God. The psalmist said, I have no way I can hide from him. No way, nothing that I can hide from. He's everywhere. So the worst thing a Christian can do is to run away from the Lord's purging when the Lord's purpose is to make him more fruitful. Folks, when the vine dresser takes care of the vine, he cares for them because he loves them. Listen, if you're a child of God here tonight, let me tell you this. God loves you. I said, but you don't know, I'm suffering so long. God loves you in spite of your suffering. God loves you. And if he's purging you, it's because he loves you. He loves me as well. Now, the worst thing a Christian can do is to run away from the pruning of the Lord. The Lord Jesus, the vine dresser, looks at us and sees this unnecessary branches of gossip and hate and lies and pride, unforgiveness, laziness, and many other sins. And he said, you don't need this, child. So I'm going to prune that away from you so you can produce more fruit. Isn't that good to be fruitful? Isn't that good to be kind to people? Come on. It's not good to be kind to people. Isn't that good to be helpful to people? Somebody comes to you. I mean, it was a Friday in my job. This guy walked. It seemed like I always meet somebody new. This guy walks and he was totally lost. First of all, like I said, you're not supposed to be. When he walked in my apartment, like, and he's looking for instruction. I could see right in his eyes. After I instruct him, he had no clue. I said, come on with me. Isn't that nice to be helpful to people? Let me take you. I know exactly what you need to go. It's nice to be helpful to people. It's good to do good to people. And that's the fruits that we do. We be more like Christ by helping people. I tell you what, if we don't love people, we don't do those things for people. What causes us to be helpful and to be kind and loving and go out of our way for people? Because we love them. Is it hard to love a stranger? Well, it depends on your heart. It really depends on your heart. You see a total stranger and you go, Listen, folks, we need to stop judging for what we see. You can have a person with a nose ring and tattoos all over their body and look like they don't take a shower in 2 years. I tell you what, and you talk to them and you have a whole perspective of how that person is, not based on what you see, but when you open your heart to them. I'll tell you what, Jesus said with sinners, Jesus said with drunkards, and Jesus did not criticize them and put them aside. He reached them. Because he loved them. I'll tell you what. Everyone is welcome in God's kingdom. They need to ask God forgiveness. But let me tell you, we as Christians, if we allow the Lord to purge us, we're going to display all those things and make a difference in people's lives. People need to see real Christianity in our lives. Yeah, right. They really need to do that. Our world... I preached a message, I think, a couple Sundays ago about giving Christianity a black eye. I tell you what, it happens all the time, constantly all the time. But let me tell you, God didn't change. We change. We the ones who change. But let me tell you, we need to show people that God is real, that we are more like Christ, and we can show Christ to them by the way we behave, by the way we treat them. People, listen, everybody wants to be loved. Everyone wants to be loved. Who doesn't want to be loved? I could conclude with this. Who doesn't want to be loved? Everybody wants to be. Even the most rude, kind, cold person likes to be loved. Go ahead and you see a cold person, a unkind, cold person in the street, go give him a little the coffee cart, see if he doesn't smile at you. Of course he will. He or she, whatever that person is. See, it's two things. You can allow the Lord to purge you and grow and be fruitful. Or he can run away from God and say, I don't want you to purge me. Guess what? He's going to go after you if you belong to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for